Welcome back to Cognac and Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And we're back for another week. Thank you guys for coming back with us. We are Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. We are cognacconspiracies at gmail.com. If you ever want to talk to us or write us in, or write into us, not write us in. That wasn't proper grammar. But yeah, this week is Jade's turn, and we're going to do a listener suggestion. So
cool.
Who's the suggestion?
Yeah, so it's been a while since we did one, but we're gonna do a suggestion from Georgie Drake. I don't know if she wants us to shout out her Instagram. Should I
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so it's Georgie with two Y's, not Jordan with two N's in the knot. But yeah, thanks for the suggestion. So hopefully we can
do the case justice. Yes, shout out to you. Thank you for the suggestions. Yeah, y'all know we love suggestions. Yes. So thanks to you. Shout out to you. So yeah, let's get into it.
So with this one, because it's a case that isn't really finished yet, I'm not really going to beat around the bush. I'm just going to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically today we're going to be talking about the death of Peter Spencer. Okay. This story happened very recently, so maybe like 3 months ago. It happened December of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, like I said, there's not going to be any resolve at the end of this episode, but the goal really is to get the story more attention so the family can get answers and hopefully justice can be served. So hopefully we can shed some light on what's going on, and I can present some evidence that I've found, and we can talk about it.
Some light?
Yeah.
Y'all can't see my hands?
Yeah, we should have a YouTube channel.
Jay just ran thing. She said light.
There's a lot of weird stuff happening, but people don't see. I think vlog is more interesting. There was YouTube, but we look kind of crazy most of the time. So.
Yeah, I don't be trying to get. I don't have to get cute for y'all and do my hair.
We finished like midnight. It's so no, I'm good.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so to get into it, so Peter Spencer, he was a 29-year-old Jamaican immigrant living in the United States, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to be exact, and he had been living in the United States since 2013. When he was in Jamaica, so he was the third child in the family of three brothers and a sister. So I guess kind of sort of the baby, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Kingston, Jamaica, and from a very young age, he always loved the outdoors and animals. He even referred to himself as a country boy, and he would give tours of his neighborhood to tourists when they came around.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been on some of those tours.
Yeah, so he really liked just to be outside, and like I said, he felt that his homeland was like really beautiful, so he never... I don't know, straight away from sharing it with somebody else.
Wonderful.
So it's pretty cool. When asked family and friends about him, they described him as loving. His sister said that he was the person in the house that would diffuse most of the arguments. And if anyone needed advice, Peter was the person you could talk to. So in Pittsburgh, like his life in the U.S., he did a variety of things to make money. So he did retail jobs. I saw he like had worked at Verizon, janitorial work. But he always aspired to be an entrepreneur. Like, he never really wanted to work for a boss.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up starting his own sort of home repair / contracting business. Like, he basically had a truck and he would do, I feel like, you know, smaller, big jobs. Like, contracting
like odd jobs and stuff.
Yeah. Like, maybe putting flooring down or painting, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had studied electrical work and carpentry in Jamaica. And he had continued his studies in the U.S. So, I think he was currently taking, like, I think you have to take, like, tests to kind of get the official, like, cert or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he was continuing his training in the U.S.
Okay.
But while he was doing that, he also was working.
Okay.
Besides just, like, a love for being in the outdoors, he also had a real love for cooking a Jamaican food. And his mother did as well. When they originally... Yeah, I love some Jamaican food.
Awesome. Yum.
Yeah. So when his mother originally moved to the United States, she actually would sell plates of food at her house every Friday, and they continued that tradition. Eventually, Peter also joined along with her, and he would help to cook and serve Jamaican food, and they would, you know, serve it up every Friday. And basically, this situation helped Peter to kind of fulfill his goal of being an entrepreneur as well as his passion of food, because they eventually had like a food cart, so they got like enough money together, whatever, to get a food cart. And he was really able to do a lot of things with it. So at his food carts, he would actually feed the homeless. So he would give out free meals to those in need.
Mm-hmm.
He also was always willing to hire friends. So if he had a friend who was down bad or maybe someone who was just looking for opportunity to work, he would hire anybody and give them a way to make money.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. He eventually planned to turn his food cart... cart into a restaurant.
Cart.
I'm hip, so I can never talk, but I think it's weird because when I do the episodes sober, I feel like I talk worse than when I do them when I've been drinking.
Oh.
It's kind of funny. I feel like I need to drink so I can, I don't know, but anyways,
you gotta loosen it up,
right? So I feel like I'd be stumbling every time I don't drink, but anyways, he did plan to turn his food cart into a restaurant, and that was his long-term goal.
Mm-hmm.
While working at the food cart, he met his fiance, Carmela King. She was working as a nurse at the time. Basically, when Carmela describes their connection, she said it was like nothing she had ever experienced. The two fell in love in 2020, and they have been together ever since. They had gotten engaged, and the couple actually was expecting their first child June 2022. So that hasn't even happened yet.
Damn, that sucks.
So Carmela is still pregnant. As far as I know, she's still pregnant to this day with their unborn child.
Okay.
Yeah. So in that aspect, when Peter actually moved to the United States, he really did work hard to make his own version of the American dream come true. Mm-hmm. He found love. He was about to start a family, and he was about to start a business. So things were working out pretty well for him, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So early, this is when we get to the story, but so early December 2021, Peter was invited to go on a hunting trip by an ex-coworker, so a coworker from a previous job, and it was going to be a hunting trip with the coworker and some of the coworker's friends as well, so it wasn't just going to be the two of them.
A hunting trip?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mind you, Peter was going to be the, I don't know if he knew this from the jump, but this case gets compared a lot to the Tamala Horsford case because... Yeah, because as you can probably assume, if you made it to this podcast, he was the only non-white person on the trip. So I think the trip consisted of four men and then one woman who was a girlfriend of one of the friends. And I think another woman who had just came on their own. But I think that makes a total of what? It was six white individuals and Peter, making him the only black individual. But I think when the hunting like involved, I don't know where the women were at, but... Most of it involves the men. Like, I think the woman came on the trip, but I don't know if they were actively involved in what happened. Because when it talks about, like, questioning and stuff like that, it always has, like, four white men, four white men. So, mm-hmm. I don't know if these women were involved in what aspect. But they were there, nonetheless.
Yeah. The Tamla case is our highest.
To this day?
Yeah, to this day. So, shout out to you, Jay. You did your thing. I was going to say shout out to you, did your thing. Because that was your episode. So, yeah, it's our highest view. People like that one. So, yeah. But, okay. Black people. Don't do it. Look, you can say what you want to say, but if I'm going to be the only black person there, I'm not going. Like you said, maybe he didn't know.
I don't know if he knew.
But if I show up, I'm going to have to step off.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to leave.
All the YouTube comments are, like, you can tell, like, the black avatar. They're like, shouldn't have done it. I'm like, okay, well, what does that help?
Yeah. But I mean, it don't help. It should help somebody else. Don't you do that shit.
I mean, I've learned that. I think I wouldn't, like, if I had been white, invited to an all-white party or a party with all-white individuals, I think I'd stay for the party, but I don't think I'd ever stay the night.
Hell no.
Especially if I had no people like that, I don't think I would stay the night.
I'm not even going to the party because my mother lives in the area. But
what if you knew all of them? Like, you know all of the people.
I don't care. They don't be, you know what? My mom lives in an area that's... In my opinion, predominantly mm-hmm. white. It is predominantly white. And they invited her to, like, I don't know, 4th of July cookout. I said, don't you go to that cookout. I'm not playing with you. And she was like, well, I was like, don't go to that cookout. Like, you might think.
Bring somebody.
All right. It's going to be a no for me. Because if my mama turned up missing, I'm going to have to light the bitch on fire. So.
I don't know if I would even be invited to a situation like that. But if I was, I would bring somebody. And then I would leave before the sunset, to be real. I'm just being real.
Sundown town trauma.
Yeah, I would roll out before. As soon as I see the sun wane a little bit, like, really nice to meet everybody. I just really run out the door. Yeah.
All right, good.
But yeah, so he might have not known. He might have known. But he was the only non-white person to attend.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the coworker who invited him, his name is believed to be Nathan Meyer. And we don't know that for a fact. But that's the name that's being passed around. Nathan so Meyer. That's already kind of weird that we don't know his name. But basically, the property they went to hunt at, like the address he was invited to, is registered to his family.
Okay.
And he's, I guess, people know that he knew Peter. So they've made the association. But that name has not been like publicly released as far as I know. But that's just me doing my digs.
Okay.
The coworker is believed to be named Nathan Meyer.
Okay.
And basically, he invited Peter to this via Snapchat. And a lot of people say this is a red flag because one of Snapchat's main feature is that the messages disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a plan cooked up or something, there really would be no evidence of it versus a text message or something, or maybe even a phone call, right? You would see the phone call had existed. But if they don't have like a text on Snapchat and it's that one message and it goes away, I think the whole thread would go.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Got you.
So there's something to be noted.
And who uses Snapchat anymore? The hell?
Yeah, that's what I thought was kind of weird, too. I was like, that's weird. But I forgot. Like, I saw another YouTuber say, oh, it's because, like, the messages disappear. And I was like, oh, I forgot all about that. Because, yeah, I'm not on Snapchat. But, yeah. Basically, it says that it wasn't really unusual. And people might be like, oh, like you said, why would he accept this invite? Why would he go along? Well, it actually wasn't crazy because, one, Peter loved the outdoors. So, things like hunting, fishing, being outside with animals, these are things he genuinely enjoyed. Okay. So, it was already something up his alley. It wasn't out of the norm for him to want to do these type of activities. And plus, I think the two had hung out separately before. Like, I saw reports that the guy had gotten some of the Jamaican food plates from his mama and stuff like that. Oh. Like, they knew each other. Like, it wasn't like a random invite from an ex-coworker. Like, I don't think they were best friends forever or nothing like that. But I think that they had prior seen each other out of work. So maybe a couple times they had interactions outside of work.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got you. Okay. So they was like work friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I would even say that much, but yeah, maybe work friends.
I mean, if he bought plates from his mama, I would say, I'm like, well, you know, you can be my work friend.
But yeah. But so him and his fiance Carmela, they basically made an agreement that she was going to give him a ride up to the cabin on December 11, 2021. Mm-hmm. The cabin was about 90 minutes away from Pittsburgh in Venango County, Pennsylvania. And just make a note that the cabin is actually really secluded. So apparently to get to it, you have to have like the latitude and longitude or like literal written down directions because the cabin has no real address. So even when, like, news crews were going out there, like, after the fact, like, they had to basically, like, scrounge through the woods and stuff like that. And there's, like, a bike trail you follow or something. Like, there's not even a road to get there. Hmm. So it's super secluded.
Okay. Got you.
Mm. So they get up there and they agree that basically she would come back in a few hours to get him later that day. So I think she drops him off in the morning. I think she was planning to come probably get him in the evening that day. Like, he wasn't supposed to be there very long. Like, probably hunt a little bit and she was going to come up and get him.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, there we say
something.
No. Nope. Okay. So Carmela left and she got in the car on her way back to Pittsburgh. She actually got a text from Peter saying that he decided to stay the night. So this is pretty quickly after she left. So it's about an hour and a half drive. Before she even gets back to their home, she gets a text saying that he's going to stay the night. So he made a pretty quick decision. And she thought this was weird of Peter because he never stayed the night prior to hanging out with friends. Like, it just wasn't something he did. Like, he was the type, and everybody has a friend like that, he's going home. At the end of the night, regardless of what happened, he was going home. Mm-hmm. But she basically agreed with his request. She told him she loved him and that she didn't come back that night for him. So she, you know, respected his request and decided she wasn't going to come back up to the cabin that night.
Got you.
She said that basically after that, he stopped replying to text messages as well as phone calls. But she did receive a text from him after the fact saying that he loved her, but she couldn't get him on the phone after that. I think after like 2:30 p.m., she couldn't get contact from him like ever again. Like, she never basically heard from him again. And she got one text that he loved her, and that was it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So morning came, and basically after hearing nothing back from Peter, Carmela started to get really suspicious. So even without hearing back from him, she was decided she's going to pick him up on her own time. Yeah. So she gets in the car and she drives up to the cabin.
Gotcha.
And once she arrives at the cabin, she quickly sees that the cabin is now a crime scene. And on the front lawn is her fiance's body.
Ah, it was still there?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, so when she pulled up, they were the whole investigation, like forensics, like everybody was on the front lawn and Peter's body was on the front lawn of the cabin.
Damn. Yeah. Talk about trauma.
No, extremely. Like, she had not received any phone calls from police, anything like that. Like, can you imagine the shock? Like, you're driving up to this secluded cabin and you start seeing traffic, right? Mm-hmm. And vehicles. And you might be like, that's peculiar, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like your heart would start to sink because I feel like you would know that something's wrong because why would anybody need to be up here? Yeah. But luckily, she even got up there because who knows what would happen if she hadn't have been proactive to get up there.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, when she did get there, Peter's body was on the front lawn. Unknown to Carmela at the time, but police actually had contacted his mother to inform his mother that Peter had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, police had actually arrived at the cabin, and it says inside this case, they really closed this joint shut. But what I've gathered is that police arrived at the cabin around like 2 to 3 a.m., and they had got a call that there was an altercation and someone had been shot. Police came and investigated, but then Peter's mom wasn't informed till 6 a.m., but then at 9 a.m., no one came to the crime scene until 9 a.m., so it seems like they called the police at 3 a.m.-ish, then 3 hours later, they told his mother, but it took them like 7 hours to actually investigate the crime scene. Like, police came and left.
That's weird.
Yeah, and it wasn't until 9 a.m. I don't know if they took the men to for questioning at 9 a.m. or at 3 a.m., but it seems like they said, okay, found the body, and then left. Hmm. And then nobody came back till around 9 a.m. that morning, and that's around the same time that Carmela showed up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Yeah. So, upon investigation, it was shown that Peter had actually been shot 9 times. Hmm. So, he had 9 bullet wounds. He had 1 to his mouth, 2 to his buttocks, 6 to his abdomen and chest. And at the scene, whatever, police detained and questioned the 4 white men that were present at the time. So, the women were not taken into questioning, but the men were. And again, we don't know the timeline of this. We don't know if they got taken at 3 a.m., at 9 a.m. We don't know, but they were brought in for questioning. Mm-hmm. Again, when they were brought in for questioning, the 25-year-old male, we believe his name, Nathan Meyer, was called in as a suspect, like he was the main suspect. And he actually said that there was some type of disagreement. They broke out, and they said that, like, Peter was intimidating them. Again, like it's just, like, scraps of information, but allegedly they felt intimidated, or I don't even know if it's they, and, like, there's they some places. So, I don't know if Nathan as an individual felt intimidated, or air quote, they, all 4 men felt intimidated by Peter, and that is when they shot in self-defense.
9 times?
And, yes, 9 times. Mm. And Nathan Myers even admitted to shooting. So, he admitted to shooting in self-defense. And still, all 4 of them were brought in for questioning, and they were almost immediately released from custody. And basically, the case has been standing still ever since. So at this moment, no arrests have been made, no suspects have been named, and everybody is just walking around living their life.
Footloose and fancy free. This is weird.
It's really weird. And like I said, you can scour the internet, but there's little to nothing to be seen. Like, the case, basically, in my opinion, seems closed and shut. And again, they haven't made an official statement, so as far as... I guess the Venango County is concerned. They are still investigating. But I haven't seen any more information come to light and things like that. But it's still under investigation. So the case is not closed yet. So there is still hope because it's not a closed case. But it's been almost 3 months and no new information has become available. And nobody's in custody or anything like that. So there are no charges. There's no charges against anybody.
So I feel like... this is crazy because, well, also I feel like because it's so new that's why we don't, there's some holes, because a lot of times, like we've discussed before, that police and investigators will withhold certain information because they want to see, they want to see who's going to know this information, who's not going to know this information, do you know about this, can you tell me this, that type of thing, to find out who the killer actually is. But I don't think... do you know? I was going to think, you might not know. Was he shot in his front or his back?
Yeah. So I was going to get to it, and I'll just jump to it. Mm. But I think... so there... well, so the gunshots... I'll just talk about it. But basically, the gunshots range. So basically, he has bullet wounds that are consistent with being shot far away and up close. Hmm. So the gunshots on his torso are so close... that he had burn markings from the gun firing. So someone basically fired it up on his chest.
Right.
But the latter is that the placement of the shots on his butt actually make it seem like he was running.
That's what I was thinking.
So those are long-range shots, and they're in his butt, which is consistent with someone running away.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that came out in the report. And then I didn't get this, but I saw some a lot of social medias that... maybe it's where the chest shots were or the mouth shot. People believe that at one point the body was turned over and would have been shot again.
Yeah, because when you said he got shot in his butt, that immediately, I was like, you don't shoot people in the butt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that gives me, like, they're running.
They're running.
And you're shooting at them.
Exactly. Yeah. And he has 2. So I feel like there were multiple shots fired. But like I said, it's weird because some of the shots are really, really close. And some are long range shots.
I feel like that, to me, if I had to guess, is like they shot probably from a long range first. And then, of course, that person's going to go down. And then somebody walked up on him and shot him at close to fit and be like, oh, shit, I just shot this person. Well, now they have to die. You know, I can't let them live because they're going to be able to say what happened. You know, so that gives me that somebody walked up on him and shot him after they had shot him from far away. Yeah, that's crazy.
Exactly. So again, just like so much mystery and like weird circumstances. Obviously, many people have started to believe that this was racially motivated. Mm. Obviously, one, because Peter was the only black person on the trip and he was the only one who died. Mm. Also, it's kind of mysterious because, again, this takes place in Venango County, Pennsylvania. And on the Reddits, people have said that basically the Venango is, you know, it's a really rural place, and it sometimes has been associated with having KKK members, anti-Semitic groups, white supremacy groups. Like, there is that type of underbelly, like, in Venango, so yeah. It isn't really far-fetched to think this was a racially motivated act. Yeah. Also, as well as the fact that the police aren't really too motivated, like I said, I'll say it because I do realize that a lot of times when we do cases, we do them from like 10 years ago. Yeah. So if you really listen, it'll be like December 2013 and then it will jump to like April 2014, mm-hmm. which really is like what, like 5 or 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I get that. But still, the family hasn't heard anything, like no evidence been released. And they're just walking free. It's not like someone's like sitting in jail, like waiting for trial. Like, and they know people have done it. It's not like they're searching for a shooter or a killer. They have all the names, but these people are just walking around, as well as their names are not released. So
yeah, that
gives kind of weird, like protective energy that the police department is trying to protect this behavior. So to me, that does kind of raise the red flag of this might be a racially motivated crime, because all of that, like the combination of it, doesn't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. And we kind of already, like, jumped to it, but just to talk about, like, the gunshots a little bit more. So, the gunshot placement is weird. Mm-hmm. So, for me, the first red flag, again, was that he was shot 9 times. I don't know who you would need to shoot 9 times in a group of 4 men in self-defense. Like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, they tried to frame it as if he was just so overpowering, so aggressive, which is, again, like a stereotype about black people, that they had to basically gun this man down like the Goliath, like 9 times. And that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. Because I'm like, it's for y'all. Y'all didn't even have to shoot him. Once y'all could have just beat his ass.
Yeah, and they couldn't, like, there was nothing they could do to subdue him. And they, like I said, it just feels like they kept shooting.
Yeah.
And we already talked about the placement of the bullets, but apparently, like, in the ballistic report that has not been released, but whoever got their hands on says they refer to they a lot. So that implies, like, multiple people could have been involved in the shooting or the whole encounter. And, like, how was that self-defense? Like, if 4 men end up shooting 1 man or beating him or whatever they did before happened, how the hell was that self-defense?
It's not self-defense.
Yeah.
There's no way you can shoot somebody. Because the thing is, you already touched on it, but they love to make us seem like these, like, behemoths. This, like, I just couldn't contain them. And it's like, bro, I'm not that strong. Like, he couldn't have been that strong to fight off 4 men. I feel like any type of self-defense, if you shoot someone in self-defense, you probably only have to shoot them once.
Really. To get them down. Yeah, to get them down. Yeah, and then
if it's a problem, then shoot them twice maybe. But 9 times, yeah. Any human is going to be down by shot like 1 or 2.
Yeah.
They're done.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who,
you,
like,
can't run through bullets.
The way they're like making it seem, and there's some far away and some close up. So that doesn't make any sense.
You
because,
walked up on your
chest. Yeah, you got up so close to shoot.
Yeah.
And just to correct my prior statement,
okay.
I was reading it so fast. So basically what the statement was saying is that there is no ballistics report. But the coroner, when they talked to the coroner kept saying they, and that's what makes people believe that multiple people were involved in the incident. Let me correct that. But yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, they walked up on them. Definitely. They should, but continue.
Yeah. So there was some other like weird things found around the cabin. So one, there were drugs found in the cabin and multiple guns. So the drugs thing, they would not release what drugs, right? Hmm. But I'm curious. I'm not gonna make no implications while I was going on Pennsylvania, but I really feel like it was no weed.
It was that her wrong.
But there were drugs. There were drugs found in that cabin, which I thought, like, I just thought that was some kind of weird for a hunting trip. So I thought that kind of, like, you know, doesn't paint a picture of them being like outstanding people, but you know, that was found there. Just a tidbit for people to hold on to. Another piece of evidence that came out, that there actually is a security camera on the site of the cabin. Mm. So basically, when police came, there's like a sign on one of the doors that says, you're on camera, look up. And there's actually a camera on the second floor in the window looking out. So the fact that Peter's body was found on the front lawn of the house, that camera, if it is on, would have caught something. Mm-hmm. But again, the problem dwells in the fact that that's a private security camera, like, owned by the owner of the home. So for them to not wipe it, unplug it, whatever, like, the fact that if they had any part of it, they'd be dumb enough to leave it on and let it roll and then give it to police. I don't think they would do that unless they, like I said, they would have to be really confident in self-defense, but I don't think they would give that to police or they would keep it rolling. So, no camera footage has been released, but there is, like, a literal security camera that points out onto the lawn. So, if there is a video, except police haven't said anything, but if there is a video, that could help clear up the case.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question, because everybody has a camera. Not yeah. It's like, you can't do anything without being on camera, especially, like, in front of people's houses or whatever. You exactly. have a camera. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would see that. So, yeah, it's, just very weird when things happen out, like, right out front of people's homes.
Because it's
and they're like, I mean, you think you weren't going to, nobody's camera was going to pick this up. Yeah. Everybody has a camera in here, but you thought nobody's camera was going to pick
it up. But because they're like I said, because they're the owner, it makes me think there might not be any footage. Because I have a separate security camera. So when I go on vacation, I have one that's an indoor security camera. Mm-hmm. And that one's really easy to unplug. Like, I unplug it. It's mainly never on when it's just people in the house. It's only really on when I'm literally going to be gone for long periods. Mm-hmm. And that one, it's literally just you unplug it. Like, you literally just unplug it. So if they knew they were going to do some unsavory activities, commit some crimes, they probably just unplugged it. Because it's literally like a little camera that's just sitting in the window. Like, it's a little indoor security camera sitting in the window looking down. Like, it doesn't look too high tech or anything.
Yeah, my little camera is a little plug-in, too.
Yeah. I have
a
little plug-in. So they just plug. They might have just unplugged it, or even so... Oh, well, actually, I don't think I can wipe mine. So I buy like an iCloud service almost for my camera. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I can. I mean, I've never tried, but I think that the company already has the data. So even if I deleted it off of my account, they probably still got it somewhere. It's probably still somewhere. Yeah, so
probably. And all my little dancey dances isn't on there. Right. I was distraught when I found out you didn't watch your camera footage, Jay. I was leaving you a dance every time I came over there.
I'll make a compilation of them. I see them. I definitely see them, but in passing, but I've never been like, nice. But I'll string them together.
Picasso.
No, I'll string them together and give them to you one day. Maybe for your birthday, I'll string them all together.
I'm dead. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
But, I guess, like you said, if it's a private residence, I guess they can't force them to, like, without reasonable cause. But here's the thing that I don't understand about the law. I feel like that reasonable cause shit is very convenient when it needs mm-hmm. to be. Because how is a dead body on your lawn not reasonable cause?
Yeah.
But something as small as, like, oh, you swerved out of a lane in the car is reasonable. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing?
And it's been so long. Like I said, I feel like it's been like months now. And who even knows if, and like when I watched a couple interviews, people were going to the house and the camera was still there. So I don't know if there was like a digital backup or there is no footage, but it didn't seem like police had collected the camera and taken it from the site but most of the videos, like I said, public attention is so short. Most of the videos are from, like, February. Like, early February and, like, late January. So, maybe it's gone now. But, like, in the videos I've watched, the camera's still there, like, pointing down the lawn. Which leads me to believe there might not be anything valuable on it. Because, like, why is it still there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but nobody knows. Like I said, just interesting. But nobody knows if there is a tape. Maybe there's a tape. They don't want to talk about it yet. But that's just a little bit of hope. Besides that, something weird is basically like the cabin. Okay, it's like the cabin. They kind of like a shed thing. Both next to each other, it's like this little piece of property. Mm. And on that like shed-ish looking building, there actually was a weird sign. And the sign said, "We don't call 911." And basically like a cartoon image of like a gun. But the words like, "We don't call 911 a gun."
Mm-hmm.
And like in this situation, like that's so bizarre that they have that. But I assume the sign means basically like, get off my property or we'll shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of this case, I'm like, oh, do they regularly like shoot at people? And that's just their defense. Like that was kind of like, it was just kind of weird.
White people stay with them type of signs up.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Them little,
like when they hunt or like they're really into guns or things like that, they stay with those type of
signs.
That's
what I thought it meant
though. I mean, I wouldn't have one in my house, but yeah.
I've seen them too.
I've seen a ton of,
especially on property that's more secluded back. It's kind of like a get off my property warning. Like basically, if you're on my property and I shoot you, I'm not going to call 911 and say, oh my God, there's a stranger on my property. Like I'm going to shoot you first. It's basically what the sign is saying.
Yeah.
But just in this context, I did think it was a little bizarre.
It's eerie.
I don't know.
It feels like foreshadowing.
It's eerie. Because it feels like foreshadowing. Because the fact that it seems like they called 911, but then, like, not really, because the investigation didn't start till, like, hours later. Like, that's a little bit weird. Like, that's kind of funky to me. But I do think the, I don't think they put that sign up that day. I think it was there, but.
I'm sure it was there.
But that was just kind of weird.
I've seen a ton. Yeah. I'm just like, interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Or they'll put it right at the front, because a lot of those properties, like, you have to drive, like you said,
Be on a tree or something.
Yeah, they'll put it. They'll put it in the front before you even turn in.
Yeah, before you even get on
there. They'll say, like, something about a dog or something about a gun or something like that. And I'm like, okay, you got it.
That's what it kind of gave, though. That's, like, what the sign basically gave.
Yeah.
So that is really all the information that's widely available right now regarding the case. And it's really crazy because it's March now. So that's about 3 months. Obviously, Peter's family is extremely distraught by the whole situation. His sister has called the incident a modern-day lynching. The family says that the case has basically been frozen. They've called the police, showed up, but they failed to provide them with any type of information. So even when, like, they interviewed Peter's father in, like, an ABC interview, and they were like, hey, like, tell me, basically the interviewer was like, to start it off, just tell me, like, what happened with your son. And the dad, in my opinion, really broke down and was like, I don't know anything. Like, he couldn't even recount the moments or, like, tell what he's been said, because it's really nothing. Like I was shocked, because there's the way they've like tied this thing up with a bow, they're not letting anything come out of it. So it's just really concerning. Said if even if whatever there's I really think this is a slim chance, but even on the smallest chance there was no wrongdoing, the family deserves to know what happened. And they don't even know that. They don't know how their son ended up with 9 bullet wounds, and that's really unsettling.
Yeah, I feel like there was definitely wrongdoing. Like, come on now. What is this? You don't have to shoot anybody 9 times, but that's so sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. So, I mean, like I said, the biggest network too did the story, and it was like a 5-minute piece. And Shaverham picked it up too, and Shaverham actually got a lot more views than the ABC piece. So it is starting to get some traction, but all the pieces are really short because there's no information. But when ABC News did it, and I was shocked by this, the Pennsylvania State Police and the Venango County District Attorney both denied to comment. The Venango County District Attorney basically said that they're not giving out any information because that could impact the trial or delay the investigation. So they're still saying they're investigating it. The state of Pennsylvania just denied to comment. I thought that was crazy, because normally, like, the bigger the outlet, the pressure starts to come down, and these, like, police departments or whatever, they start to comment. But they really had their lips sealed. Like, even national news, they're not talking, but there currently are 2 different GoFundMes to help the family get an investigation team together, like lawyers and things like that, to get justice for Peter. So we can link them if people want to donate to those. They've got a lot of steam to them. They've got a pretty penny on them, so that's good to see. So hopefully that can help the family. Yeah, I mean, that's basically the gist of it. So, like I said, from the outside looking in, it reeks of foul play. But there's literally no information. Like, I think this has been the most bare case. I said, this rural little town, apparently they can keep a secret because nothing's getting in. And that makes me, again, that gives me red flags, because it seems like there's a real effort to keep this tight. Like, no one's spoken. Because even,
it's giving the guy who owns the house is friends with the sheriff. That's what
it's giving. It's giving. Yeah. Because even, and it's wild, right? Some of the black cases we do, people be wild in the comments. People be on YouTube like, I'm the neighbor and let me tell you what really happened. Not only people just be lying, people be spilling it.
Yeah.
Like, in these little cases, like I said, even the Tamala horsewoman, people be keeping their mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's giving. Like I said, it's giving. They called a personal friend out 2-3 a.m. who was an officer, looked at it and said, it's going to get handled.
Yeah.
And then they walked away from it. Yeah. Because it was weird, because I'm like, did the coworker work in Pittsburgh and just resided? Because it's like an hour and a half, which isn't uncommon for someone to commute out that far. So I said, maybe, like, Peter never got that whiff from him because he knew him in, like, a city setting and things like that, and didn't even know this man was, like, I don't know, like, this type of person.
It could have been. I mean, I don't know. I mean, don't go out to no white person's cabin, okay? I mean, it's not his fault. You know what I'm saying? I'm not victim blaming. I'm just saying, for those of us who are still here, don't you do that.
Yeah. The most disturbing take I've seen on it is people basically saying that it seems as if, like, he was hunted. And that's the most disturbing take, is it basically the coworker kind of tricked him into coming out there and they were going to be hunting. But little did he know that he was the actual target. That is so unsettling.
Did you read that? What is that book?
There is something like that, yeah, right?
It's a short story.
Yeah.
Where the guy is, like, a rich Y'all, in the little Instagram comments, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not about to say
it sounded really familiar.
But yeah, it's like one of those stories you read in English class, like everybody has read it. And like the guy was rich and he would invite people out to his island, but he was like hunting the people. That's what it sounds like.
It's also kind of like, what's that other movie? It's not Squid Games, but it's kind
Hunger
of like
Games?
That. No, Hunger Games are not hunting them. Isn't it, it's a Black Mirror episode where like people were criminals and they like
got
to hunt them. It's a bit that's a yes. bit different, but
yes, I remember
that's a bit different than what this is. But yeah, but basically a lot of people looking at the evidence because like, it is consistent with him running, and people be like maybe they leave from the jump, like took his phone immediately. Sent people also think that his those friends, coworkers, whatever, they sent those text messages.
Yeah, I don't think that was
because
him.
Yeah, because she got a text from him. Mm. She got the text saying he's not coming back really quickly, which is like. Even when I go out somewhere, I don't, like, if I honestly stay the night, it's probably because I drank too much, but I don't know when I show up at the bar at 5 o'clock that I'm going to stay the night. Like, that's just suspicious in general. I mean, you've already made that assumption immediately.
Yeah.
And, like, four men, like, staying the night for a camping trip, like, powwowing, like, that just seems kind of, like, with not close friends, like, maybe I just don't know about that. I don't know about that life.
No, I was weird.
But that just seems a little weird to me. And he sent it, like, immediately. Like, she didn't even get home yet. And he had already made the decision. And then she, like, I feel like she said she tried to call. So maybe she was like, oh, are you sure? Like, hey, it's getting late. Let me come get you. Couldn't get him on the phone. But she sent one last text saying, I love you. And it's literally just, I love you. Not anything else. So that kind of gives that he didn't even have his phone.
Yeah. It's, no. When you said that, when I was thinking, I was like, those text messages were not from him.
Yeah.
Those were from somebody else.
Yeah. And like I said, maybe the phone had been... Who knows? And like I said, there's no information. They find the phone. Where's the phone? There's no information. There's none. There's nothing.
Okay.
Mm. There's no names of the men who are out there. It's probably on the dark web somewhere for real. But
I don't like the unsolved ones.
Yeah, me either. But and the most unsettling part is it may be years. It may be years until we find out stuff. Because, yeah, it may be a long, long time.
All right. Well, I guess that's that then, huh?
Yeah, that's that. So we could link the GoFundMes. The first GoFundMe, I think, is by his sister, and the second one is by his fiance. And there are some really heartfelt little blurbs in their own words that I thought were really moving about the pain they're going through in the situation with their brother and Carmela's fiance. Mm-hmm. So that was, it was like pretty like, you know, tear. It's really sad.
Aww.
But it's always good to hear it in their own words. So
that sucks. She's still pregnant.
Yeah so hopefully she'll give birth to a healthy baby in June, but I mean it's extremely sad that she's going to be bringing the child in the world like by herself, and they were like really in love, so they've really like, you know, taken a lot away from her.
Maybe it'll bring her some joy, because you know this, but our podcast listeners don't know this, my dad actually died before I was born.
Yeah.
So my mom was pregnant when my dad passed away, so I'm like, maybe the baby will bring her some joy.
A lot of people talk about how you get to keep a piece of them forever, because if she wasn't pregnant, it's really depressing, he'd be gone forever. So even for the sister, for the mother, for the father, they'll have a little piece of him.
Yeah. All right. Damn, that's sad. Sad note. Oh, well, I guess you can't help it.
Yeah, it's sad, because I was doing a gesture and I couldn't sleep last night. I feel like I didn't think I need to take a break. Like, I literally kept thinking about it and I kept waking up, like, sweating. I was like, I need to take a break.
Why are you sweating?
Because it bothered me. It really bothered me. It's really sad.
Poor Jade.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
Not poor me. I don't need anybody's sympathy.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, it was just really sad. It just really touched me. It was sad.
It is sad. All right, well, that was sad, y'all. Sorry about that. But if you came here, then you already know what you was getting into.
Listen during the daytime.
So shout out again to our listener suggestion. And we will be back next week. Let us know what you think about the case, or, you know, send us messages as it progresses, since it's a new case. And yeah, we're Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. We're cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. And we will see y'all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.